Welcome to the Lost Horror Podcast. This is your weekly podcast for all your film-going needs. And with me, as usual, is my co-host, Eric Sayor.
Hi, Arlen. You ready to talk about America's favorite sport according to Rocky movies?
Yeah, the national sport, some might say. Move over baseball. Yeah. We are discussing a franchise that, although it's near and dear to me, I have complex feelings about it. We were talking about the Rocky films, specifically 1 through 3 and probably 4, depending on how today goes. whether if my health breaks down over the next hour.
Maybe you can make a Rocky out of yourself and pull it through.
Yeah, maybe. I will climb up the mountain to 2 different montages. not to spoil something that will be a juicy bit of conversation, but 2 montages. The Rocky films. I don't know what to say about the Rocky movies. You probably know them, even if you've never seen them. I feel like that it's one of those movies. It's, you know, if there are 5 movies that everybody knows without having seen them, it's, we talked about Hitchcock, all those movies kind of fit into that. Jaws, Rocky, Star Wars, and, I don't know, Indiana Jones, maybe?
Yeah, probably. I was one of those people that hadn't seen Rocky until relatively recently. My introduction to the character was Creed. I actually watched Creed first. So it's a bit surprising considering, like, when my best friend is a huge Rocky fan, we just never got to watch them together.
Interesting. So you kind of had a Star Wars like experience with it, but probably much better. That's interesting. So a couple, not even that long ago, maybe a year ago, I showed my younger brother all the Rocky movies because he had never seen them all the way through, and I wanted to start him with Creed because I think Creed is a great entry point. And anybody who's like, should I start with Creed? It's good. It's fine. The way I've described Creed is it's a great movie for giving you all the pieces of the other Rocky films that you need. And leaving out anything that's unnecessary. Because it cherry-picks the bits and pieces that are most important and puts them into the first 30 minutes of one movie and makes them integral to the new story of a new person who you can connect with. And there are all these little references for people like me who watch these movies over and over and over again, but you don't need them. They're not essential. It's a lot like if you started from The Force Awakens and then went back. It's a very similar experience.
Yeah, exactly. I think Creed works very well, like, by itself. I loved it when I watched it. And it was interesting for me to go back and watch Rocky. I actually saw the first time I saw Rocky, I saw it in a movie theater.
Still so jealous about this. Still bitter and jealous.
So that was a great introduction. And then I hadn't seen a Rocky movie till recently when we got through those. So I'm a new Rocky fan now. Actually, I have to, like, I really enjoyed the most of these films. Like, they're very uneven. Yes. I'll say
yes
in directing and acting and everything, but like when they're at their best, you can't help but like really cheer for them.
Yeah, I will say this: even a movie that we will revisit in a later podcast, Rocky V, even that movie has its moments, and we'll get to that. We'll get there. Don't worry about it, people. We will be there. Every single one of them has something great, and they range from being highly watchable to being great cinema. And it's a franchise that really runs the gamut, as far as a quality meter. But I do like that they have a low floor, as it were. Or no, would it be a high floor? I don't know. But low. There's a very high, low standard for these movies. It never goes past a certain point on the gas tank, as it were. So yeah, that's good. And I think we should start where the original movie started with the first Rocky. Came out in 76, I believe.
Yes.
It's about the same age as Star Wars, so I always have to remember it's like a year off or so. But yeah, it stars Sylvester Stallone, based off of his story idea and his initial script. And it's so weird how the movie is a reflection of his life, because he was in Roger Corman movies and softcore porn before he was an actor. So really, it really is like it is his existence, as it were. And they didn't think that he would be any good in the movie because he wasn't an established star or actor. And he really fought to be in the movie. And it got going, and he kept on insisting on, I should be the guy, I should be the guy. And then it got to the director, who said, yeah, no, this is the perfect Rocky. And if you watch the first movie, I think his performance is the thing that is most memorable,
It
especially in
holds the
comparison to the
movie
others.
together. Yeah, exactly. It's the one film where I believe the most in Rocky as a man, as a character, as a personable character.
Because he's so well examined. There are so many aspects to his character. There are things that continue in the other movies, but like he's obsessed with animals. Like he every animal he sees is his best friend instantly. And little like character quirks like that kind of get lost in the shuffle as the movies go on. And he's obsessed with being funny also. Like he wants to be the class clown, but he's not quite there, as far as putting the jokes together well enough. And he
He
wants to be seen as more than just a boxer also.
has a lot of he thinks a lot about reputation and how other people see you, and that's kind of important to him. He gives like the whole speech to marry the 16-year-old girl about it doesn't matter how you act if people think you're a whore. That's what he says, more or less. Then that's all that matters to your reputation. So it matters a lot to him to be seen as like more than what he is in the film, and that's a theme that's recurrent in the sequels.
Yes, it does. That does continue, and image is almost more important to him at times, and it's interesting that that does continue. And it changes how well that's carried out throughout the rest of the movies. And what it was interesting for me as an adult watching the first Rocky is how much it really isn't a boxing movie. And I think each progressive movie is more and more about the boxing, and less about the characters. And this is a movie where it really is, it's about Rocky's interaction with Polly and his interaction with the mob, who are his primary employers at the beginning of the movie, and all these other characters throughout the film.
His
And
relationship with Adrian,
yes, definitely.
which is like which is the one constant in all those films.
She ties all the movies together, along with him, and their relationship is something that It's so interesting that it starts out in this very weird place where he's like, there's this scene that I revisit in my head a lot and I'm still unsure about, where he's brought her back to his apartment and he's trying to put the moves on her.
He goes back and he t immediately takes off his sweater and he's like in a tank top showing off his big arms and she looks really uncomfortable.
And she remains uncomfortable throughout most of that scene, up until the point where he is like, "No, please don't go," and he kind of locks the door. And I don't remember the exact line that he says after that, but he says one line that it doesn't quite make it okay. But he's but she said but it's when she says no, it's when he says, "You know, you're really beautiful," and she says, "Don't tease me." It doesn't, again, doesn't make it okay. It's still very uncomfortable that he kind of doesn't let her leave. But like,
It's a kind of bad scene from today's point of view. It's not. It's like not as like I rewatched Blade Runner recently, and that's like really, really bad. But yeah, this is like, yeah, that's not okay. But it ends up being what both the characters needed, which is like I thought about it a lot, me too, because for me it's like watching it made me uncomfortable in a way that I don't think it was supposed to make audiences in 1976, but now it's not the best the scene that's aged the best, but I think it works for me. It's still like weird, but it's
It's still a little bit strange, but you're right, it does hold up. It holds up much better than Blade Runner, which, I mean, I remember, I also rewatched that recently on like a, not an IMAX screen, but a fairly big screen, and I was like, yeah, Deckard just raped a woman. It's soft rape, but it's still rape. But that scene, it does play out ultimately as being kind of sweet. And their relationship becomes very sweet very soon after. And I love that their relationship makes them both better in a weird way. She starts to stand up to Polly after their relationship starts to sprout. And even though Polly doesn't react best to it, it's something that she needed. And that's another thing. Like, Polly, who becomes like, cute drunk in the later movies. He becomes, "Oh, that silly drunk man." He's a full-on alcoholic in this first movie.
No, I think for every film I took the note, Polly, piece of shit. Like every one of the movies, there's at least a moment when he's like, he's bad. Like,
He's kind of an ass,
yeah.
but his lovability goes up each movie, and it's very interesting that he started out as like this, as the abusive alcoholic brother, and they sort of soften his edges as the movies go on.
Oh, yeah.
And again, that's not necessarily a criticism, because each movie is intentionally different. The only one where that is even a criticism is number two, because number two. And we'll get more to that, I guess. But number two doesn't feel like it's trying to be something different. It feels like it's trying to be a continuation.
Yeah, it starts immediately after the previous one ends. There's no break or time skip or anything, and it is really jarring how it changes in tone.
It definitely is not selling itself as being in a different, some would say, universe, as we, again, as we get later on down the line. But Polly in each movie, he fits the movie that he's in. And I think that that's a strength of the series. You get the Polly that you deserve, some might say. And he again, he fits his movie. Burt Young, who's an actor who I don't think I know from anything other than Rocky, which is really weird. Because when you hear people older than us talk about movies, he shows up a lot. So it's interesting that there's an entire generation who only knows him as Polly. But he's really great, and it's not just that he's good at playing an alcoholic, it's that he's good at playing all the different sides of being an alcoholic. He's good at playing an alcoholic when they aren't even drunk. And I'm not saying that all alcoholics have a certain personality, but there's a certain behavior that alcoholics tend to have. And he's able to play, not drunk, buzzed, and then full on, off the wagon, I'm throwing turkeys out the door, and
Yeah.
so on and so forth.
He does play anger, like unreasonable anger, really well.
Yeah. And I love that he can go from like 10, 10 to like 100 very quickly. And it's again, it's like it's believable. You really feel like this like deep-seated rage in this man. But you never get the sense of, I don't understand how these two are friends. Their friendship, oddly enough, feels very natural. And I love throughout the movie, there's this thing where Rocky's like, "Well, I'd like your job," and then Polly's like, "Well, I'd like your job as the guy who breaks people's arms."
Yeah.
And I loved that little thread. I realized that's what makes them friends. They're both blue collar guys who, the system kind of failed them a little bit, and because they both have jobs that the other one hasn't had, that's kind of what makes them friends. They can kind of be jealous of each other's
Yeah.
normal lives, and that's an interesting little thing that I only noticed in this rewatch.
Yeah, their friendship does work for me. It feels weird. Rocky is just a really friendly guy with everyone. He's like he has no filter, he has no limits. And Polly's like, I think Polly just likes hanging around someone that's still positive with him, even though he's kind of an asshole to everyone.
He found the perfect match for him.
Yeah, exactly. I do like Rocky's kind of friendliness. He's not very smart, and he knows that he's not very smart, and he doesn't really care. Like, he makes the most of his life, and he makes him like an immediately likable guy. Like, yeah. And I think Stallone really sells it in this film for me, sells it as like the he it feels like he's just like there's this character that exists, and that's a weird feeling to have watching a film, but he's the one character in one of those rare characters that I feel like is inhabited perfectly.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It's one of the things where he's so in sync with that character, and it's so interesting when we do see the later films. He already knew the character so well when he first did the movie, and how well he knows the little pieces of who the character is later on. It's something you only see a few actors ever really get to do, of like playing these characters for so long and really just getting to inhabit them. Robert Downey Jr. has kind of gotten to do this. Hugh Jackman has gotten to do this kind of. But Stallone has gotten to do that, times two. And it's really interesting to see as the movies go on from that point of view.
Yeah, but there still are bits in like yeah, in the later films there are bits that he doesn't work for me. It feels like you're watching a different character.
That's
There's
true.
no there's yeah. And but in this film it's so well con self-contained as like his character. I think that's why this movie, like we said at the beginning, that's why this movie is like one of the greatest.
Definitely. It's a Great film,
Yeah.
definitely.
What do you think about Apollo Creed?
I'm glad that you mentioned that because I would have completely skated over him. He is Carl Weathers is delightful in this movie.
Yeah.
He's like he's so energetic when he's on screen. And the way his personality against Rocky's, the way that they play off each other is so interesting. Rocky is so low energy and so just like befuddled by a lot of what's going on around him and by the whole situation. Whereas you have Apollo, who's this character who is so in control of every room that he's in. And it doesn't matter who is in the room with him. You know, you could have more money than him, you could have been working much longer than him and have all this success, but he will still rule the room.
Yeah, exactly. He's the opposite of Rocky. He's like super smart, and he in this film he's really cocky and not prepared, and that's why he ends up losing. But it's like you said, yeah, he has such a fun personality. He's fun to watch. He makes like this film, he gives energy to the film that like you, yeah, Rocky's very, he has this funniness to him, but it's like it lacks the energy of Apollo Creed, and I feel the two, when the two are in the same room, it works really well.
Perfect, a perfect partnership, I think.
Yeah.
And also, even though this is a movie about boxing, I do want to mention this. The final fight scene in this movie is great. If you know a lot about boxing, maybe it doesn't hold up as well. But I will say this, as somebody with a very loose understanding of professional boxing, the boxing in this movie holds up a lot better than some of the later films.
Yeah, no, it is a good, like, makes the fight, it's a mix between being enjoyable and feeling through, and I think yeah, it's great.
Yes. Because mostly, partially because Rocky has his arms up a lot of
Yeah.
the fight. Which, if you know anything about boxing, you kind of got to protect your face. But yeah. I guess, yeah, when a movie's this good, as I've found on Phantom Zone and on this, it's hard to talk about it for too long before you just go over stuff. So I guess we can go into two, unless you have final thoughts on the first one.
I do like Polly's speech to try to
Yes.
convince Rocky when Rocky doesn't care or give a shit. It's a good scene seeing like his Mickey, I mean, did I say Mickey?
Yeah.
Okay,
Yeah,
sorry.
it's fine.
His desperation, trying to use tell all his stories, and he sees a chance at glory that he never had, and he is another, like, in this film he becomes the, in this film and the next, he's really the rock for Rocky. He's the one that like holds him together, especially during the fight itself.
Mickey is a character who he's so integral to the movies, especially the first three. And he vibrates through the rest of the movies, even if he's not there. And he's I love everything about the character. I love Burgess Meredith, and he's from a different era than any of the actors on screen. And it shows, but it works because you get the sense that he is from this different world almost. You know, when he describes his time in boxing and the thing about the guy who punched him when he had nail with nails in his gloves, I was like, I kind of want to see that movie.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, that's cool. And then the opening fight is actually really cool. Spider Rico is that scene does a good job of telling you where Rocky is as a boxer, which is important. It's important to know that in the first movie, Rocky isn't supposed to be necessarily a great boxer. He really is like an underdog. He's a boxer who might have had some skill, and he could have been a big deal. He could have been sort of, middle ranked at some point and probably made quite a bit of money, but he just never worked hard enough, and he's continuing on because he's really good at taking a punch, and he has a lot of endurance. And that's the only reason he still works as a boxer. He's working as a boxer far past his prime. And that's something you should know as we get into the later movies. So yeah, I guess we can go into Rocky
One
Two.
last thing I just want to mention, it's the first shot that I like a lot, just before that first fight, about it's the fight takes place in a church, because you just see the first shot of the film is Jesus.
Yep.
And I like that this movie, like every other one I've seen in the series, ends in a freeze frame. Just after the end of the fight. Like I knew about him. I had seen him screaming Adrian. That's like a very famous scene, and like I had heard it made fun of, and when I finally like, because by itself separated from the film, it is, I thought it was kind of funny, but watching the first time I watched the film, I'm like, my God, I get it. It's not, why did I laugh at this my whole life?
Yeah, I can totally see that. I think I watched this. Yeah, I watched this fairly young, but I do think I had a very similar thing where there were movies making fun of this, and I laughed at it. I was like, "Why is he yelling at?" But as you watch these movies, you're like, "Oh, okay, in context, not so funny." Yeah, definitely an interesting thing to point out. So that's
Let's move on,
yeah, number two.
to 1979's Rocky II. This time, not only written but also directed by Sylvester Stallone, one of his first films. Like, I think he had done one or two before, but his first big film as a director.
Because he made like a small movie. It's about like a magician. I don't remember the name of it, but he made another movie because he got a lot of cred after this movie, after the first movie, and he got a lot of ability to do whatever, not whatever he wanted, but he got money. He was the first movie was nominated for an Oscar, and it made a lot of money, had a lot of press, people loved it. It was a classic.
It won Best Picture, Best Director, Best Editing, and Best Actor. So, yeah, like one of those crazy films, to like a generational film.
Yeah, so he definitely cashed it in. He did make another sports movie, I guess. It was about wrestling in the 40s, so he kind of did make that movie about Mickey in a weird way. Interesting. And it's like, if you look at it, it's a lot of the same cast. It's called Paradise Alley. So if anybody wants to see young Stallone, go watch that. But yeah, Rocky II, like you said, a constant of the series. Only broken by Rocky Balboa and Creed, really, is that you open up with the last few minutes of the first movie. And this one opens up with more of it than the later movies. It's like 15 minutes that are maybe edited down to 10 minutes. They
It's
take
a
the.
long intro.
Yeah. They cut out Stallone's eye, the cut me scene. Not the full scene, but they cut the actual blood spurting out of his eyeball. Or not, well, yeah. You all know what I mean. It'd be great if he just had an eye patch in the later movies. No, but yeah, it opens with that, and I understand more now why they did it. It's to remind people of the cut me scene and to explain why he has a detached retina in this movie. A detached retina that he just healed from, I guess, at some point. We'll get to that.
Yeah, but also, like, in I think it works very well because in the, I don't think in the 70s you had seen Rocky in the theater three years before, and when did you have a chance to watch it again, you know?
True, true. They might have done a re-release, but even then, that was still
Yeah.
a year and a half before this movie, before the second movie came out in
Yeah, so
79.
I think it's very Star Wars of it to like start with an introduction of what happened before and where we are in the story
Yeah,
exactly.
and you're right, it is a smart choice on that level. And also, sequels weren't really a thing in the same way. And a lot of the times, you would assume that most people weren't coming back. Or that most people were just coming to see for the first time and they didn't care. You were just going off of the name, kind of. So, it
I'm actually
works.
thinking about someone seeing like Godfather 2 without seeing Godfather 1, and
That
I.
would be interesting. I've never saw Godfather. I'll try this out. That would be extremely. Oh, well, interestingly enough, Godfather 2 does open up with the end of Godfather 1, kind of.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the same. It's not to the same extent. A full 15 minutes of the movie almost. But it's very similar. Maybe this was just a thing in the 70s, and Rocky did it, and it's a relic,
Yeah.
maybe. But I think it works, especially with the stuff of them going to the hospital. Not quite in real time. It's just long
Yeah.
enough for the credits to go by.
No, yeah, I like that it goes straight from the freeze frame to the ambulance. And then the ambulance going through Philadelphia, and it looks like that's a cool intro scene with a I think note that it was a remix of the classic Rocky song.
Yes. Yeah.
Like 80s ish remakes
Yeah,
before
because
the 80s.
techno was just sort of starting in America. So, yeah, it's interesting because the first one, it's very disco. That's another thing. The Rocky theme, which has had many different reiterations, it is so disco in the first movie. And this is very, it is that electronic thing. And three and four, it's a hair metal, as some might say. But yeah, the theme is, it's sort of this lower key, sort of, late 70s, early 80s techno. And it's a good opening credit scene. And when they get to the hospital, it's interesting. They open straight up by undoing some of the things that were said at the end of Rocky. Apollo immediately wants a rematch. I do love that they point out, well, I thought you said there wasn't going to be a rematch. He says, I don't care what I said then, I care what I said now, or something like that.
Then shortly after, Rocky goes to see him in his room to ask him, "Did you give me your best?" And Apollo answers, "Yes,"
And this is, yeah.
which like rewrites history, kind of.
Yeah, kind of. It does. Apollo was not taking that fight seriously. Not at all. But yeah. And another was his trainer, as I pointed out on Twitter. Without a shirt on, watching Rocky beat that meat. But yeah, the second movie is interesting. Yeah, I know. The second movie is interesting because again, the first movie, it's mostly about the people. The second movie, it's also mostly about the people. But the training and the fighting become a bigger part of the story. But the stuff with Adrian and Rocky trying to set up their lives, and Rocky trying to figure out what to do after he's become a national name. He's become a celebrity, but he can't really do anything with it. He doesn't really have the facilities to handle being an overnight celebrity and not really having any of the abilities of a real celebrity. He didn't get enough money to live so well that he can just do whatever he wants. He still kind of has to go find a new job and, help Adrian with the house and, raise a kid eventually, and all that
Yeah,
stuff.
I think I really like what they were going for, but I think it's not well told as a story. I think it's a lot. There's in these scenes, there's a lot of like really stale acting between Adrian and Rocky, especially when they're shopping and all those scenes. They feel really, they just don't work for me. I think it's maybe Stallone isn't that great of a director at first. He doesn't know, like, he does direct the fight well, and the beginning, the scenes with Apollo, those work for me. But this part in between, with a lot of character building, it's just really awkward, and it feels too long. And I just wish it was better, because it's an interesting story, an interesting arc for Rocky and for Adrian, but I just don't like that it is. Like how when he buys the watch, and it's like just like it's very cheesy, but it doesn't feel like Rocky the character. It just feels, and it's weird because just before that, there's like the it after the hospital, they go to the zoo, which is, I think, really funny. They go to the zoo, and he asks her to marry her, and it cuts straight to the wedding. And after the wedding, there's a great scene between Rocky and Adrian when she asks him if it's gonna if things will change now that he did the fight and he's popular, and he tells her that nothing will change between them. And it cuts straight to like him buying a bunch of stuff and being not very smart with that money, and her just. It doesn't work at all for me. Not like they could have done the same thing. Like, I just wish that the quality of that scene when they're both together after getting married stayed with the following scenes, and then but it just it's just not that there.
It does stick out. Like, and again, like it's very weird. You're right. There are some scenes that don't work at all. Like that stuff. That stuff feels very, it feels out of character, and it doesn't feel like he knew quite how to direct actors, because he's a very naturalistic actor, and he's clearly he has some ability as a writer, clearly, but his ability to be in a scene and know when to cut and when a scene isn't working, this movie is it feels like he doesn't know any of that stuff at all. He's really still learning. And it's interesting, I think, on that level. It's very interesting. But then you do have some scenes where his writing shines through his ability as a director, I think. I think the stuff with the commercial is very good.
That's really good. Yeah, I agree.
It might be cartoony. I think the
Yeah, it's
director is very cartoony, but he works for the scene.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's a very it's funny, and you get the frustration of Rocky, and you get his relationship with Adrian. It feels really good in the sea of scenes of varying quality.
And again, it does display something about him that I love is don't be rude. That's a big thing for him. Like, be polite. Get your point across, say what you need to say, but don't be a jerk. The way the director acts towards him, and the final straw is when he says the thing about dummy cards. He's like, I don't need to be disrespected like this. I don't need my wife to be disrespected. And I like how that scene ends, and the director continues to be disrespectful, and it just, fueling Rocky's position and strengthening it. And again, that's an example of a scene that works really well. There are other scenes that don't work as well. That I can't actually remember them because they're not memorable. But then you have stuff like when he goes to see Mick. That scene is brilliant. I think it's very well shot for someone who, again, they'd only done one movie before this, as a director. Mick is great in the scene. Yeah, Burgess Meredith, that's right. Burgess Meredith is, he's brilliant throughout this movie. I think he really gets to shine in this movie and in the third one. But the way that they play in that scene is so, it's so father and son. And that's the stuff that I love between them. When you really get the sense of, like, Burgess, he has sort of become his surrogate protector in a weird way. And I think that when they're on screen together in scenes like that, it's magic sometimes.
Yeah, and I also like how Apollo is portrayed in this film, like, as troubled and as, like, he can't deal with himself, he can't deal with even his victory. And him doing everything to get Rocky to fight against him. I think Apollo is my favorite Rocky character, actually. Mm-hmm. We did talk a lot about him being energetic in the first one, but in this film he goes from, like, not being sure about himself to looking almost haunted before the fight, and I think that's his arc in this film and is very good.
Yeah, I agree. I think the cutting back between him sort of looking into the mirror and crushing for the first time one of many pictures of the opponent that will be crushed. that scene, cutting back between Rocky in bed with Adrian, just looking up, that stuff is really great. The dichotomy between the two of them is just so interesting, and it's a defining aspect of the entire series. Even long after Apollo's death. And I think it's fascinating how it's a relationship that just continues on in the afterlife. In a world where there are no ghosts, at least I don't think there are.
No, not yet. We haven't seen the sequel to Rocky IV yet.
Oh yeah, the Rocky IV too, where Apollo comes back to life. I'm in for that. But yeah, there's a lot of, you're right though. There are a lot of scenes in this movie where, again, I think his writing cuts through his inability as director. And then there are some scenes where it's very clear he doesn't know what he's doing. you're right. It's an uneven film that I think for the most part works. And I will say again, the fight scenes at the end, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
This one is very good, I think.
Like, I feel like the boxing is the one thing in those first two films that we don't really need to talk about, because it's like, it's good boxing, but it's, and you root for Rocky and you're there, but it's like, it's not, it's not the most interesting thing to talk about.
Yeah.
Like, without having an image to go with it.
Mm-hmm. And it is interesting that I never think, well, now as an adult, I never think of Apollo as a villain, because he's so well written and he's so interesting, especially more so in the first movie, a little less in the second one. I never feel like he's one-dimensional. He always feels like a character where I understand his point of view and I understand why he's doing what he's doing, and that goes a long way for me. And it's one of the things that I think makes him interesting in this movie particularly. And I love his trainer also. I think his trainer is underappreciated in all of these movies.
Yeah, I agree.
And when he always gets some really great scenes that show that he is as much a partner to Apollo as Mick is to Rocky, and their partnership is interesting in a lot of ways.
Yeah, the trainer do gets to shine a lot in the Rocky IV, and I think he's at his best. I do like I do want to talk about his relationship with Adrian in this film because it goes from being good and then being spending all their money and all that to her being pregnant and having to go back to work because Rocky can't find a job. And there's this scene when he chooses to fight Apollo and it cuts to her in the staircase of their house. And that's one scene when I think like I wouldn't have thought it was his one of his like the same director that shot those other scenes because it looks so good, her being completely isolated. It's like darkly lit and it's a very for me it's a very memorable scene because I remember her standing under that staircase looking at him. Like he betrayed her kind of by going back to fighting again.
Yeah, you're right. The betrayal in that scene is very good. And Talia Shire, Talia Shire, she's really great in a lot of scenes in this movie, and that scene in particular, she really puts it all out there. And I do think her arc in this movie is interesting. And I think, like something that I've always gone back and forth on is when she says, when she wakes up out of the coma and she says, I need you to do one thing. Win. And that scene, it's been called cheesy since, and I don't quite agree. But I do think the fact that it's immediately followed up by a montage is a
Yeah,
little cheesy.
that's the cheesy part, yeah. A montage ending with him running and the whole city following him.
Yes, which is.
Yeah, which is the cheesiest of the cheesiest. But that scene by itself, for me, it works really well because she's almost died. She has her son with her now. She's happy and she kind of just wants. Like the thing with Rocky and Adrian that I love is that when they're at their best, you can see that they really understand each other. They understand their characters. They argue and they have like really similar discussions between the films, but because she has to kind of be antagonistic every time he's gonna fight someone that could kill him. Because it's understandable, but at the same time, you always know that she understands it and that she'll be there for him in the end, and that's the switch. That's when it changes.
She's always. Even if she's criticizing him, she's still supportive, which is an interesting thing to play on screen, and it's a very complicated emotion, and she makes it work a majority of the time. Is there anybody that we really left out? We should mention that Burt Young clearly lost weight, like a lot of it, and he's in this one the least of any of the other
Yeah, no,
movies,
I
I
don't
feel.
remember what he does in this film at all. Like, he's kind of there sometimes, but yeah, not. Oh, yeah, he is there when she tries to push Adrian to be more supportive of Rocky. But he never gets them. That's the thing with Polly. He's always there, but he never really gets what's going on between them emotionally. He doesn't get why they're together. He's just kind of happy that they are together.
He does have, there is one important scene with him, and it's Rocky with the car. And again, that's a scene that I think is really well done. It's him sort of having to give up this status symbol for him, this thing that, earlier in, like you said, in an earlier scene, it's not a very good scene when he buys that car, but what that car represents to him is interesting, and the way he plays that scene where he has to give it up. And he's not crying, he's not visibly sad, but it's just his body language and like his like resistance to like giving it up. And the fact that Polly isn't like excited to take it off his hands, isn't helping his mood, clearly. And I think that's just a really great scene. And it reminds me a lot of the scene where he's walking away from, I can never remember the name of the mobster, Tony Gaza. It reminds me a lot of that scene where he's walking away from him in the first Rocky.
It does. He's yeah. He it it I did like that he didn't know how to drive. Yeah,
And he
and
kept
because he
bumping into
always
things.
in the first movie he always walks everywhere, and in this one like he ends up he just walk he's very good at walking away, as a physical act. He does that very well. There's one scene I just really want to mention before we move on to Rocky 3, and it's just before the fight when he goes see the priests.
Yeah, that's a good scene. That's a good
That's
scene.
hilarious. Like, so Rocky, the first one has, no, even the first one, they all have like those weird moments of humor, because just because Rocky is Rocky and he's kind of a funny guy by being himself, and that's the one in this film. It's very funny.
Yes. Him going to get blessed by a priest. One of the best moments in the whole in all the movies. And I love that he's late. He's late to his own fight.
He's late to the fight and he goes to the priest. He's already late. He's like, can you bless me or something?
The priest just gives this very quick. Yeah, it's great. That's a very good scene. Yes. Yeah, I do want to mention something from the training montage. It's Mickey's new assistant who replaced a short guy from the first movie, a short guy who I missed, by the way, and I notice he's not in the later movies. At one point, he is karate chopping the area between Stallone's groin and his abs. And I wrote in my notes, what does that help exactly? What's that for? So yeah, that's just a little thing in my notes that I found entertaining. But yeah, so I guess we can move on to Rocky 3 unless you have any sort of closing thoughts. So
No, that's I think I'm good moving on. I did like this one a lot less than the following and preceding one. Yeah, because now I just want to start by saying I loved Rocky 3. That's such a fun film. It's so good.
So this is where there's a turn in this franchise, where and this goes to a theory that I have, is that each Rocky movie is only a sequel technically to the last Rocky movie. The only events in that movie's canon that are absolutely canon as they were are the events that you saw in the last movie. So the events of 2 and 1 happen in 4, but they happen differently.
I even say the only canonical events are the ones that are in that same movie, like when they take the end and put it at the beginning, and that's all that matters.
Yes, definitely. So only things that happen in Rocky 2 at all affect Rocky 3. Except for the things that they don't care about, like again, Rocky being blind in one eye. Which they just conveniently forget. And yeah, and also he's on so many steroids by the time we get into Rocky 3.
Oh yeah.
He's like Stallone in the first two movies, he's fit, right? Like he's a very healthy looking man. It's
He
good.
looks strong as hell though in the first few films, and then you assume he's like ripped.
It's very clear that the competition with Arnold Schwarzenegger has already started, even though Arnold hasn't been in that many movies yet. So yeah, like that's already begun. He's clearly on so many steroids, and the movies become cartoons at this point. And I love them for that.
Honestly, I enjoyed every minute of this film. I think it's so fun. It's so good. It is what I thought Rocky was, actually. Before having seen any Rocky movie, I thought they were like fun
Right.
boxing blockbusters that
Yeah.
like have the kind of underdog. He loses once, he goes back, he wins. It does have this structure, and it's like what I thought Rocky was. I have the tiger playing throughout the film. It's what Rocky has become kind of in pop culture.
Yeah, definitely. This is definitely the one that set the template for what you think of as a Rocky movie. Probably because it hit at a time where there were a lot of kids who could watch it, and it's also the most kid-friendly. That's the other important bit. Rocky One is not for kids, at all. I mean, not without some, good parental supervision. Rocky III is, I mean, it has a wrestler in it. There's a fight scene with a wrestler, which is the most like playing to the kids thing. And also, it's Hulk Hogan, and at the time, like that is merging two worlds, and getting two very different audiences to watch the same movie in a way. And so, yeah, I understand why this one is the template. In public image.
I do like that fight with the wrestler. It's
Yes.
so dumb.
The build up to it is also great. Hulk Hogan's his his criticisms of Stallone are so great. The what is it? The meatball versus the ultimate man. Like so anti-Italian, while at the same time just infinitely just not right. It's but yeah, it's a great fight scene, and I love that Rocky takes his gloves off. He like rips them off, and they kind of do mixed martial arts for a second there. Yeah, it's a good scene.
I do like that the movie starts. It starts with the montage, but
Yes.
of course it does. But I do like that after that it cuts to Polly, and I wrote full transformation in character from The Godfather, because he's just in the dark in a bar drinking smoking a cigar, having a drink. He's really drunk. Then he goes and breaks a Rocky pinball table because he's just angry. You don't really get like, yeah, okay, he's angry because his friend is rich and he isn't, and then Rocky just gives him a job straight up.
He's a much bigger part of this movie, oddly enough. And I think this is where, like I said, the fun drunk came from. The fun drunk sidekick who says, not the best thing sometimes, but he's
Oh no,
harmless.
he's very racist.
Yes, but it's harmless racist. It's still terrible, but eh.
No, it's bad.
But he's fun in the movie, to say the least. Yeah, like this is, I mean, Mr. T in this movie,
He's perfect,
he
right?
is. He's really perfect.
He's a cartoon, like
Yes.
actually a cartoon character, and that's the best possible outcome for the exactly what this movie needed as for a villain.
Like, he's a character who I can't imagine how he is when he goes to sleep at night. I can't
He never
imagine him.
sleeps, like.
No, I can't imagine him going to the bathroom. Like, real human tasks. I can't imagine him eating lunch or having breakfast. And that works for this movie.
I love that confrontation when they reveal the statue. Actually, it's really weird that when they reveal the statue, there's an actual like a full-on band playing the Rocky song that like it's an actual song that exists. It's so weird.
It's the strangest thing. It's bizarre. Like, this movie is surreal in such a weird way, and to point out something that was a criticism of Rocky II. This movie is very even. Whatever level of quality it is, and however you would describe it, there's never a point where you're like, oh, this dips, or this goes up necessarily. It's
No,
just, it remains very even throughout the film, I will say.
and Rocky throughout the film does have an interesting arc, even though he's again not at his best performance-wise. I think not the he it isn't Rocky. Like
No, he's a different
it's
character.
I can't you know I can't. It's weird to think that there was only a few years between these films, and that so great performance in the first one, that so grounded performance. But I think maybe that's a result of having another director directing him, and that director having that vision, whereas Stallone himself is more about the writing, and for him, the writing is a character. Well, the way the character talks should matter more, but that's not really the movie to talk about that because,
And also by this point, it's important to point out that he is fully into, or he's at least at the, on the cusp of movie star, Sylvester Stallone. Rocky or Rambo First Blood has come out by this point. Cobra has come out by this point. Over the Top, all these movies that are very, film star, Stallone is the hero. All those movies had come out. Him as an action star was a thing already. So this movie changes to be more in fitting with that brand, oddly enough. So the fact that he doesn't talk like Rocky anymore. He has a full vocabulary. And you can explain it away as, okay, well, 8 years have passed, I think. No, it's 6. 6 years have passed. And the first movie it only takes place like a year after the original. So he's had 5 years. In 5 years, you don't go from having a speech impediment, and not being able to read a book very well without having to read it out loud to, like, he has a college accent. Like, he speaks like somebody who's been to Harvard or law school or something. I mean, not quite that educated, but not Rocky from the first two movies. He speaks like
And the
Sylvester
weird is
Stallone.
when he does the Rocky thing, like saying you know a lot and all that, it's like almost out of place with when he doesn't, like when he does it instead of when he doesn't. Let's talk more about the good parts of this film, because I'm not sure I like the scene, the whole Mickey thing in this film.
Yeah, he's a bit underserviced. I do think the scene where he's explaining himself, I think that he's good in that scene, but the rest of the movie he's kind of wasted, a lot, I found.
I do like this a lot, the scene that his when he dies and Rocky tells him he won. That worked really well for me.
Yeah, that's a very good scene. And I did like his funeral. And it reminded me of something that I always forget. I always assume that because he's named Mickey that he's Irish. And I'm always reminded, oh wait, he's Jewish. Okay. It still makes sense because of the era that he would have been boxing. Those were the two most prominent groups boxing at the time. But yeah, that's a it's always interesting, like the little details that you find out about a character that adds something to them. But yeah, like that I do like his death scene though. He plays that scene very well, but a lot of the stuff he's not getting his due, really. And it's fine because we have the training montage of Rocky while Mickey is still alive. Then we have the girls coming up to him asking him for kisses and autographs or whatever. And that stuff is so goofy. But again, I love it. I think it works
it.
so well in the movie.
Where is he training? Like, he's
I don't
surrounded by
know.
people and they're selling t-shirts and it's completely ridiculous.
And there's like Roman columns everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like he bought a courtroom and he's training in a courtroom or whatever, or a
Yeah.
castle. Yeah, I don't know where that is, but it's fascinating. And yeah, I love that. I love that it's he's like he's training in a carnival. And also like the fact that there are so many people watching him is yeah, it's and it I get it. I get the idea is, well, he's not training like a real person, and it's kind of a cartoonish version of when you see Apollo's training in the first movie and kind of in the second movie. In the second movie, you see him
Yeah.
training a little bit more seriously, but I do remember in the first scene in the first movie, you see scenes of him training, and he's very clearly playing it up, and he's not really, working very hard, and you sort of get a much more blown up version of that in this movie.
Yeah. But what I did love in this film is the second half.
It's so good.
I like team ups in films, and that's the
Yep.
best team up
It really is.
imaginable.
Yeah. I love it.
Apollo teaching Rocky actually how to box. Because
It's so
he's just
good.
good at getting punched in the face and punching back harder.
Right. Yeah, he's
And that
just good
would.
at withstanding, but
Yeah, that's his strength. But then he becomes actually good at, like, being in the ring.
Definitely. And yeah, I love how many times he says "I have the tiger." I don't know why. Like, I feel like the unofficial subtitle of this movie should be Rocky 3, I have the tiger.
Rocky 3, go buy that single now in stores. Just to remind you 12 times what the name of the song really is.
Titanic. And they play it so much. They play it so much in the movie. I didn't remember how much they played it, but it's there so many times. But it works when it's used well. It works really well. And I love that he doesn't go up the steps in this movie, but it does end with like him and Apollo embracing each other on the beach,
Yeah.
which is it's equivalent to that.
It's so good. They're so beautiful.
They really are like
They're good friends being happy on the beach together.
it's so good. It's so good. They're so happy.
And I love how that scene is shot, because it's like the opposite of male gaze, when it's just like it's bodybuilder gaze. It's just following every one of their muscles on their legs. It's
They're glistening. It's
yeah,
so good.
exactly. It's so good, so dumb, but it's perfect.
Yes. I love it. I love it so much. And I love all the training stuff, and I love Burt Young being like, why is he swimming or whatever? Like, what are we doing in the pool? Should we be punching him? He's like, he's gotta learn how to use muscles that he's never even used before. I don't know
Does he
if
know
that's
how
effective.
to swim? It's not for nothing that he's called Rocky.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, and I love like Adrian's shouting scene.
Yes,
It's
that's I think the best scene in the film. The one when she brings him back. She becomes in this film his real rock, and I love that.
yeah.
She just I love that he asks her, when did you get so strong? And she just answers, I had to, I'm married to a fighter. And it's perfect. A perfect growth of her character. She took her place, and I think she's at her best in this film.
And I do like that it's not as simple as I don't want you to do this. It's I want you to do this if you're going to do it right. And I love like the realistic nature of what she's doing. Like, I want you to do this because you need to, but you can't do this the way you're doing it right now. You can't keep like half assing your way through this. you need to either get on the horse and be ready, or you need to give up. And I love that. And I love that her and Apollo together, they replace Mickey in a way. And they do a pretty good job of giving him the tough love that he needs.
Yeah, exactly. And when he does get to the fight, I love that he wins by being smart. That's the most like anti Rocky thing, but actually Apollo taught him to be a fighter, and he's become a way better fighter, a way smarter fighter, and I love that. That he wins by ex because we didn't mention, but Mr. T's name is Clubber Lang, and that's such a good name.
It's a brilliant name. It's so good. It's such a brilliant villain name. Like it's so like comic booky. And that's the unsaid thing. The Rocky movies, they are comic books come to life. Especially 3 and 4. They are superheroes, but they're not wearing tights, they're wearing shorts and gloves. This is pure bad guy versus good guy, the fate of the world, but it's not really.
No, not at all.
But it's the fate of Rocky's world, and that's what matters. I love it. I love it so much.
Like if I had to rewatch any of those films, like that's the one I would probably go for if I had to choose to, depending on the mood, but still, like between this, the fun one, and the first, the great one, those are the two that really that I actually loved.
I do think you're right in that this is the most watchable. I remember before I saw Creed for the first time, I was like, I want to watch Rocky, but I'm not gonna watch all of them. I can't do that. I didn't have the time for it. But I was like, I still want to get back into that world. And because I knew it was about Creed, I said, well, three, I guess. Three's the best choice for that. And it's the best one to watch. If you're like, I need to watch one of the other ones before. Rocky 3 to Creed. It's a great combination. Definitely.
And he does win the fight, like we said, and that's a great moment. But the even better mo I love that it ends in a freeze frame after the fight, like every of those films, and then there's an after freeze frame
There's an
scene.
yep. There's a surprise fight at the end.
Exactly.
And Eye of the Tiger's playing low in the background. And then I do love that there's this third fight that becomes mythologized later on. It's great. I love it so much.
And a second freeze frame when they both of them punching each other in the face, it's perfect.
Yes, but then it turns into this painting that is in later movies. Also, it's brilliant. There's so much to say about Rocky 3. We could do a whole podcast about Rocky 3. Maybe we will in the future. If somebody says that they want to. Because I'm down.
Like I said, I rewatch this film easily. It's so fun.
It's a blast. It's a blast. Final thoughts on this one before we go to four?
Don't know, just Clubber Lang, man.
Come here, woman.
You just had to tell me. I wish I had known Mr. T as Clubber Lang, and that would have made me watch this film way earlier.
That's good to know. Now that's go real deep into this cartoony world. That's
Okay, let's start by saying Rocky IV is bad, because it is.
it's very bad. 20 minutes of it are montage, at least.
It starts with like a 5-7 minute montage. It's a 90 minute
Yes.
film.
Yes.
That's
Because like all the other ones, it starts with the last movie.
yeah.
It gives you the little bits and pieces. It gives you that fight with Apollo and Rocky.
The montage has the two freeze frames. It's impressive.
A montage with freeze frames. Hitchcock would be rolling in his grave by that time that movie came out of theaters. They're using my tools against cinema. But yeah, it's brilliant. It's really great. But again, like, this is a bad movie. If you think this is a legitimately good movie, not a fun bad movie, you need to check yourself, as the popular classic rap song would say. But it is so much fun. The whole 20 minutes of montage thing, that's not really a joke. There's a point in this movie where it's after Rocky has gone to Russia to train, and he has this big training montage, and it's really, and I don't remember the exact song, but it's very somber. And then
It's
that montage ends, and who's waiting at the house for him? Adrian. And then he has a little scene with Adrian, and then what happens? Another montage starts. It's so great.
it's so dumb. The first montage is so somber. It's like all the flashbacks of all the other films. Like
Yes, that one
everything that
too.
happened, and in no particular order, it just feels like put together, kind of.
That's.
There's no structure
Yes.
to
Yes. So that one is after. Okay, we haven't talked about the plot of this movie at all, but we assume that this movie has a Russian who comes to America to join,
boxing league,
boxing, basically, as like a
professional boxing.
goodwill mission. And he wants an exhibition match with Rocky, but Apollo decides that he wants to have the first exhibition. Just kind of to stroke his own ego, and also for nationalistic pride, kind of. Which, here's the thing, as goofy as a lot of this movie is, that kind of works, for his character.
Yeah, for me, his character was more about he training Rocky made him want to fight again, like really fight again.
Yeah,
And
I can see that.
I love this. I do love once they interact with each other, and he tells him we're both fighters, we're made to fight, and that's what they are, and that's why he wants to be back. He was so close to that glory, and then he had his fight with Rocky that we don't know how it went, but still it brought back that fire in him, and you can see that he wants to fight this guy, and he's already looking forward at fighting Rocky again. That's how I read it.
Interesting. Yeah, that's one way of reading. I just read it as like it's about him not wanting to get old. But
Yeah,
that's I think your
that's.
take is valid also. Like, I do think he wants to get into the game. But I do think the nationalistic pride has something to do with it. And also, like, again, it's all over this movie. Like, this is a movie that before they give you the montage of the previous movie, it opens with two boxing gloves. One with
Yeah.
the US flag and one with the defunct USSR flag, colliding with each other and exploding. In case you didn't know what this movie is about. But then, so yeah, Apollo goes into this match. He uses all the powers that he can summon
Yeah.
how am I forgetting the name? To bring James Brown to the stage with him. And he has him perform Living in America to scare Ivan Drago. Again, if you don't know this movie, the main villain's name, even though, here's the thing, he's not really a villain. And that's another thing that I love. The main villain is the guy who's like dosing him with steroids. But he's just like a hopped up on steroids dude who isn't necessarily an all that bad of a guy as far as we know. Because he doesn't really have any conversations with anybody. Like, the bulk of his lines are, if he dies, he dies.
I'm gonna
And
destroy you.
yes,
That's about it.
I will break you. And he is made out of iron, he says in Russian. Like, that's the bulk of his of what he says in the movie. But yeah, like, he doesn't really get a lot of character development, which again, it works. You know, back to my Clubber Lang thing. I can't imagine him going to the bathroom. I can't imagine him eating. I don't know what he eats, and I definitely can't imagine him and Brigitte Nielsen having sex ever. I don't understand how that would work. Also, God, there's so many things to talk about. Brigitte Nielsen in this movie, she's great. She was Stallone's real life wife at the time, and her scenes are so weird because I'm unsure if she's actually a good actress or not. That's how crazy this movie is. That I can't get a, I can't for a second get into her character and know whether or not she's
She, it's
good or
it's
not.
weird. Like it's almost like she has no character. She has no like emotional like response to things that make sense. It's very weird.
It is, but then you have scenes like, I'm afraid for my husband's safety or whatever. It's like, okay, that's not, that doesn't fit.
Yeah, that scene is so weird. The scene, not weird. I mean, it's weird to look at that scene today. The scene where after he killed Apollo, there's the press conference when they announced that Rocky's gonna go to Russia to fight him on Christmas. Why is it on Christmas?
I don't
There's
I
absolutely no reason.
right.
Actually, like none. It doesn't make like there's not even maybe there's a Christmas tree when the kid watches it on TV. I'm not sure.
I think there is. I
Yeah,
just watched it.
I think we just watched it too. But I'm like, why was it Christmas again?
I don't know, like we are so removed from the Cold War, the two of us, that I'm sure there's all kinds of context that we are missing. Like, I know that communists were often associated with atheism, so maybe that's why it's on Christmas. But that feels
Maybe.
like a stretch.
Maybe Russians are all watching the fight at the arena instead of being there with their family on Christmas. But I don't know. What I was saying was that scene when like everything the Russian says about the Americans is like true, actually. It's like you're violent and you invade other countries and you bring the bad to the world. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. Still relevant. I think the Russians, I'm actually rooting for the Russians just in that scene.
I kind of found myself agreeing with him. I wasn't until Burt Young started talking, that I was like, but even then I was like, I remembered, oh yeah, this is Burt Young. This is the guy who threw a turkey out the back door.
I'm a big fan of just Polly complaining about hotels. Living
This isn't the Four Seasons. So
where
good. So good.
in
Oh.
both in the third and the fourth film there he's just like always it's like and we don't even know why he's there. There's no actual reasons. He just follows them around and like makes dumb jokes. He doesn't really help Rocky train or anything. He just follows him around.
And then, like, he has, I was like, there's this weird through line in the movie where he's like, you should read comics, they're gonna help your male virility or whatever. Okay, Polly. And then later on, he's like, I hope they have my comics here. It's like, you're in Soviet Russia. Where do you think they're gonna have your comics? But yeah, like, also,
Okay.
yeah, go ahead.
I said we need to talk about the robot.
Yep. Yeah. We need to talk about the robot. I wasn't sure which one of us was gonna get there first.
For a second I forgot it was there because it disappears like halfway through the film, but it's like Polly has her robot wife.
It comes in with this intro music. And the only person in the whole movie who reacts to this robot the way that you should react to a robot is Carl Weathers. And
Yeah,
he.
exactly. He's like, what the fuck is this shit? Where the hell am I to see a robot?
I think he broke character in that scene. At least I like to think that he did.
Yeah.
Because he does a double take, and it's so great. I like to think that he showed up and the robot was a surprise that it wasn't in the script. And
Because
yeah.
I can't imagine Sylvester Stallone writing a robot in this script. Like,
Right.
why?
Like, he had a friend who could mock up a robot, and he
Yeah,
was like,
bro.
I'll put that in the script, or in the movie, I
Yeah.
mean.
I like the character growth of the robot, going from like being kind of neutral, and then he's like Polly's girlfriend, and then he's
Yep.
like Polly's wife.
So
Just
good.
nagging him.
I love it. It's like, why'd you do that, Polly? Why'd you do that to the robot? Why'd you make it sound like that? What did you expect Polly to do? Polly's gonna Polly.
I like that it has growth. It's so dumb.
I love it. I love it so much. I love it. I do wish he had brought the robot with him. That would have been great.
Yeah.
Him and Rocky could have, the robot and Rocky could have combined at the end, even things out a little bit. But no, that's dumb. Completely dumb compared to everything else in this movie. Yeah,
Okay.
it's a cartoon, and I love it.
Yeah, while we're talking about the comedy, there's one line that I really love in this film. It's when his son watching TV goes, "That's my dad." And he's with two of his friends. One of them goes, "We know we're not nerds."
I love that
But
so
no, what do
much.
you think we are, nerds?
So good. So good. God damn it. Like.
It's such an 80s film,
Yep.
like that the Rocky 3 was an 80s film in the best possible way, like a dumb action film with a character you can root for. This one is an 80s film in the dumbest possible way.
Yeah, it's so good, but so bad. I love it. And I love that he ends the Cold War at the end. That was
Yeah,
great too.
exactly.
He causes the head of the Soviet Union to stand up and cheer.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so good. And I love that they wrap him up in a US flag at the end. Yeah.
He gives a speech. If I could change, you can all change,
Right.
and I'll be communist, actually.
So good. So much of the movie is great. There are some scenes in here that are like, that was really good. Like, I like the use of the Russian national anthem, which is,
Yeah.
I think we can all acknowledge, just a terrifying national anthem. If you hear that national anthem, run. But it's used very well in this movie, I think. The entrance into the ring, and everybody singing in unison is really, like, scary. And it works to portray the Russians as these cartoon bad guys. So yeah, that's a scene worth noting. But yeah.
I do love also the second training montage.
Yep.
The one where you can see both Rocky and Drogo training in parallel and like doing similar gestures. But he's like running in the. He's just like lifting. I don't know. Like he's lifting
Heavy,
Polly.
like,
Yeah.
what, like, he's like, yeah, he's pulling a cart full of, I don't know, Russian plants or something, a beer, Russian hay, I don't know. And I love that he runs up a mountain at the end.
Yeah, he has those two guys tailing him, and he runs so fast they have an accident.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so
And
good.
he runs up the mountain.
And
Yeah, that's.
the music in that montage and in the car montage,
Yeah.
hearts on fire. It's so perfect. And I do love the montage that you're talking about that uses scenes from the other movies. Because you're right, it's so random the way that things are put together. None of it really makes sense.
Yeah.
Some of it is really just like, oh, this is a scene that kind of works, and that if we put music over it, it will give it emotion, but it doesn't actually fit. I love, there's no, sometimes there's no way out or whatever. That's the use of music in this movie is great. And again, you can just watch these montages and probably have watched most of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, you'll be fine. You could watch the opening montage, the fight with Apollo, the car montage, the two training montages, and the end fight, and you've watched half of the movie. most of the pieces in between, except for, again, Apollo's trainer, who, as you mentioned earlier, he has a great scene with Rocky in this movie, where he's explaining that Apollo was like his son. And I love that. I love that. And I love how, these are two characters who lost their versions of each other. Rocky sort of lost his boxing dad, and Apollo's trainer lost his boxing son, and they're sort of surrogates for each other.
Yeah.
And that scene is really well done. It's again like there are
Yeah.
scenes in here where it's like, oh wow, that's a really well-directed
This,
scene.
yeah, no, yeah, like this is Rocky at its best. Still, there's shades of that in this film, and like yeah, those scenes between the coach and Rocky, they're the best.
That stuff's good. But it's a fun movie,
Yeah,
definitely.
the. This one, I think we can talk a bit about the fight itself because it's the one time that I feel it's the least boxing,
It's
the furthest
essential.
from, yeah. They're just like fighting in a ring. It's all like it gets a bit into wrestling and.
Like he's yeah, there's a lot of them like punching each other in the back, which is
Yeah.
it's not illegal in boxing, but it's not something you're supposed to do. Refs are supposed to break it up, at
Yeah.
least from my understanding of boxing.
But they're also like pushing each other, throwing each other around. Like it's really.
Like they're 1 second away from headbutting each other at certain
Yeah,
points.
same. Yeah, I feel like if it was like the same ridiculousness in the action made today, there'd have been at least one headbutt in this
Yes,
film.
probably. Most likely. The fight is like, and also this is the important thing. It's the same fight as the fight from three. He uses the same strategy on Draco as he, I mean, here's the thing. Rocky has one strategy, which is tire his opponent out and outlast them. So endure their punches long enough for them to run out of energy and then take him out in the last few rounds. And that's how he wins in two, three, and four. And he just does that to the nth degree by throwing in, like you said, moments where they're not really boxing. They're just like roughhousing. I think it works because this movie is so cartoony that they don't need to follow the rules of
Yeah,
boxing.
exactly. At this point, nothing matters except Rocky winning, and that's all.
I guess it's
Yeah, I think that's enough Rocky talk for today. We'll bring Rocky back and talk about those last three films.
And future anticipation and things like
Yeah,
that.
exactly. There's another Creed movie coming this year, so.
And I mean, apparently he's going to be fighting Ivan Drago's son, and I'm interested in seeing how that works out, but we'll talk more about that
Yeah,
in a later
exactly.
show. So, yeah.
Quick plugs.
Yep.
I'll go first. I'll just say follow me on Twitter at I'm at Isayer, where I like reviewing every movie I watch for the first time. So if you want to see a tweet version of everything I said, I tried to say in this podcast, look it up there.
My plugs, Phantom Zone, as you know, comes out every week, and because of how we record and record things ahead of time, by the time this one comes out, Eric may have made his second, maybe even third, possibly even fourth appearance on the Phantom Zone, because Jessica Jones will be out by the time this episode drops. So look for that. He may have been a part of multiple episodes of our review by this point, so go look for that. And Phantom Zone is every week, so
It's a good show, I recommend it.
and anybody who knows my opinions on Jessica Jones in the past, it's probably going to be a must listen. I think those are our plugs for the week, so
See you next
goodbye.
week.
Have a good one.
Goodbye.
Bye. Better than you. Come and see it by me.